Okay, we're beginning here in the middle of Zayin Amud Bet. The Gemara is still searching for the reason why we need Aleha in the Limud. We have an Aleha by Achotisha. We have Aleha by Yibum. The Gemara says, because we have Aleha by Achotisha and we have Aleha by Yibum, because of those two reasons, that's how I know that Arayot are Asurot when it comes to the issue of Yibum. When I have a challenge or a tension between Yibum and Arayot, I say Arayot Trump. Why do I say that? Because of this Gzer Shavu Aleha Aleha. Gemara wants to know, what was the Havamina? Why would you ever thought that you could have the Asay of Yibum override Arayot? So the Gemara first tried through Asay Docha Lot Asay. The Gemara has given up on that because we're dealing with an Asay that is Docha Lot Asay Sheish Bo Karet. So the Gemara has given up that route. And then on yesterday's Daf, on Daf Zayin, they tried a couple of their routes. Devrela made me know, and so on and so forth. Now we're up to another attempt at this, which is Hovi Shtare Yishtare. Once it's Mutar, let it be Mutar the Gamre, which is that in the face of Yibum, meaning in the sense of Yibum versus Eshedach, Yibum overrides Eshedach. So we know that it overrides one of the Arayot. So once it overrides Eshedach, let it override all the Arayot. So that's a concept called Hovi Shtare Yishtare. Once it's Hutra, let it be Hutra the Gamre. How do I know there's such a concept called Hol Vishtari Vishtari, that once something's mutar, make it mutar the gamre? Detanya, mitzora shechal shmini shelo be'erev ha-pesach, a mitzora whose eighth day fell out on erev ha-pesach, vira'a keri bo bayom v'taval. And on that day itself, he saw keri had a seminal emission, and he went to the mikveh. Amru chachamim, afo pi she'in tvul yom acher nichnas, ze nichnas. In no other scenario would a Tvul Yom go in, but in this scenario he does go. Mutob shiyavo asei sheyesh bo karet, bidche asei shein bo karet. It's better that an asei that has karet associated with it overrides an asei that does not have karet associated with it. All right, we'll just deal with the last piece first, which is Korban HaPesach. The Korban HaPesach is an asei that has an karet associated with it, so therefore the asei of Korban HaPesach is a very strong asei, because if you don't perform the Korban HaPesach, you're chayav karet. There's also an asay of Yishachu Michutz LaMachaneh. People that are Tamei are sent out of the Machaneh, sent out of the Harabayit area. And so now I have a competition between two asays. I'm going to say the asay of Pesach trumps and overrides the asay of not being there, being sent out of the Machaneh. Now, let's discuss the situation here. Each piece independently, and then we'll bring them together. First of all, Mitzora. Here's a case of Mitzora. Mitzora has to wait the 7 days through a process in which he becomes tohor. On the seventh day, he goes to the mikveh. Sun sets on the seventh day. He is now tohor. Tohor except for kodoshim, because he is a mechusar kippurim, which means that he still has to bring his korbanot on the eighth day. Those korbanot on the eighth day will allow him to eat kodesh, allow him to enter into the mikdash. So in a normal scenario, if the eighth day of a mitzvah falls out on Erev HaPesach, no problem. He'll bring his korbanot in the morning, and he'll be all set by the time the afternoon rolls around. He could even do the Korban Pesach himself. And even if it gets later in the day, and he could send the Korban Pesach with someone else, he does the Tarat HaMitzorah on the eighth day. By the time nightfall comes around on the eighth day, that's Pesach night, he can eat the Korban HaPesach. There is no problem. A Mitzorah whose eighth day falls out on Erev Pesach will be participating in the Pesach that night. That's number one. Separately, a Baal Keri. A Baal Keri is Tumat Yom. Baal Keri, who has Tumah as a seminal mission, goes to the mikveh. After they go to the mikveh, they wait for sunset. After sunset, they are tahor legamre. Same scenario here. If a person is a Baal Keri on Erev HaPesach, okay, so they can't bring the Korban HaPesach themselves, but they can be Barach Habura that brings the Korban Pesach. By the time the night rolls around, then he is going to be tahor, and he can participate in the Korban HaPesach. So a Baal Keri by himself also would not be problematic in terms of participating in a Korban HaPesach, because a Baal Keri will be tahor by the Laila. The problem is when the two come together. When the two come together, now I have a problem, because the way that the Tarat HaMitzorah works is that he has to bring his Korban on the eighth day, but as part of the process of bringing his Korban, he has to go up to Shar Nikanor and then stick his thumbs in and his big toes and his ears. He's get the blood sprinkled on him. So he has to get all the way to the Azara in order to do the Tarat HaMitzorah. A Baal Keri is precluded from being in the Machaneh Shekhinah, but not only in the Machaneh Shekhinah, even the Machaneh Leviyah. that Baal Keri is like a Zav, because he's in the subset of Zav, and therefore he's thrown out of two Machanot, he's thrown out of the Machaneh Shekhinah and the Machaneh Leviyah. The equivalent in the time of the Mikdash between Machaneh Shekhinah and Machaneh Leviyah is Machaneh Shekhinah is the Azara. Machaneh Leviyah is Har HaBayit. Machaneh Yisrael is the equivalent of inside the walls of Yerushalayim. So he can be in Yerushalayim, he just can't be on Har HaBayit. Now, if this Baal Keri cannot be on Har HaBayit, the Mitzorah, as a Mitzorah, he needs to be able to be Mitayer himself. He needs to get all the way to the Azara in order to be Mitayer himself. So in that scenario, he has a problem here. The combination we're faced with, the two of them together, which is now we have a Baal Keri and a Mitzorah at the same time. A Baal Keri and a Mitzorah, even though independently, each one of them independently would have been totally fine, meaning that each one of them could have ended up with a Korban HaPesach. The problem is when the two of them come together. When the two of them come together, the Baal Keri is preventing the Mitzorah from getting to his Tahara. So that's the situation we're faced with now. He has an assay, which the assay is to throw him out of Machaneh Leviyah, to say he's not allowed to be on Har HaBayit. That's the assay. But he also has an assay of Korban HaPesach. So what do we say here? We say, Mutov Shiavo Assay Sheish Bo Karet. Better is the assay of Korban HaPesach comes, Vidche Assay Sheim Bo Karet. It should override the assay that he has to be sent out of Machaneh Leviyah. That's the statement of the Gemara. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan adds on to this. Tosafot says that this is the Gemara's intent originally, and that's why they used Baal Keri, which is Amar Rabbi Yochanan Dvar Torah, Afilo Assay Late Bay. There's not even an assay over here. Shneamar, Mod Yoshafat Bikal Yehuda Lifnei Achatzer Chadasha. So Yoshafat here, they're being mitayer themselves, they're getting things ready for the service in the Mikdash. And it says Yoshafat stands in the Kal Yehuda, amongst the people of Yehuda, Lifnei Achatzer Chadasha. New, the new Chatzer, the new courtyard. So what do you mean? My Chatzer HaChadasha would mean new courtyard. They're talking about the Mikdash. Mikdash has been around for a long time. There's no Chatzer HaChadasha here. So Amar, either it's Rabbi Yochanan or Rabbi, Shechidshu Badvarim. It's not that there's a new Chatzer, it's that there's a new rule about the Chatzer. Shechidshu Badvarim, Bamru Tvul Yom Lo Yikanes L'Machaneh Leviyah. That's only a Din D'Rabbanan. Mido Raita, a Tvul Yom is allowed to enter in Machaneh Leviyah. It's allowed to be on Har HaBayit. It's only into the Azara that it's problematic for a Tvul Yom. Midrabanan, we push him out. We push him out of the Machaneh Leviyah, we push him out of Har HaBayit. So here, the Chachamim were not a Midu Divrehem, but Makom Karet. Now that's not a principle that always applies. Sometimes the Chachamim are a Midu Divrehem, even but Makom Karet. Here happens to be one of the times where they said they suspended it. Even though there's an Iser for a Tvul Yom to be on Har HaBayit, nevertheless, they suspended that in this case to allow him to do the Korban HaPesach. That's what it means. That you have an assay sheish bo karet, that assay of Pesach overrides the assay derabonon of the Tvul Yom being pushed out of Machaneh Leviyah, of not being able to come in Har HaBayit. That solves almost all of our problems. Because there's another machloket, a machloket that's called Bia Mimiktzat. When the Mitzorah comes up to Har HaBayit, he goes to Shar Nikanor. Shar Nikanor is the eastern gate into the Azara, Shlo Nitkadesh. It was not Kadosh, therefore you can stand within the archways of Shar Nikanor. But in order to perform the Tarata Mitzorah and the Korbanot over there, he has to stick his thumbs, his big toes, into the Azara itself. Now, that's problematic, because there's a Chiyuv Mita associated with that, Chiyuv Karet associated with entering into the Azara as a Mitzorah, as a Tvul Yom. All of those things are problematic in entering into the Azara. So how do we solve the problem that he's sticking his thumbs into the Azara? So one solution to the problem is, Bia Mimiktzat, Lo Shbei Mia. Entering in a portion of your body is not considered being entering into the Azara. Simply sticking your thumbs in is not entering into the Azara, so it's not a problem. So according to that day, we're done already. He comes up to Shar Nikanor. He gets a special dispensation, even though he's a Tvul Yom to be there. Then he does his Tara by just sticking his thumbs in, his big toes in. He's all set because he didn't do anything wrong. But there is another day there. A day in the Gemara that Bia Mimiktzat, Shmei Bia. That when you stick your hand, your little thumbs in, you stick in your toes, big toes in, all of that is problematic. So then, how do we do that? Well, the Torah says, by Mitzorah, that's what you gotta do. It's a Gzera Tekatuv that the Mitzorah has a dispensation to stick his thumbs in, to stick his big toes in. That's great, as far as the Mitzorah is concerned. But a Tvul Yom, for Baal Keri, where's his dispensation? The Torah never lets him stick his thumbs in. Bia b'miksat, shmei bia. So how do we solve that problem? That's what Ula says. Ula's of the opinion that bia b'miksat, shmei bia. So Amar Ula, ma tam, why does this work? Hovu utar le tzarato, utar le kruyav. The reason it works is, since the Gzerat HaKatuv gives him permission to stick his thumbs in for Tzarat, for Tzarat HaMitzorah, for the 8th day, Mechutzer Kippurin, the Korbanot of the Mitzorah, therefore it also gives him permission to stick his thumbs in for his carry as a Tvol Yom. This is the concept of Ovi Shtar Eishtari. Once it's Hutra, meaning that once he sticks his thumbs in and the Torah gives you permission to do it, it's quote-unquote Hutra. Hutra means it goes even for Mitzorah, it goes even for Balkeri. This is what we're looking for. We're looking for this concept that once I allow you to violate one Isur, that allows you to violate multiple Isur and allows you to clear the decks. So that's what happens here. He's allowed to put his thumbs in to get the Tarat HaMitzorah on his 8th day. So too, he's allowed to put him in even though he's a Tvul Yom. Normally a Tvul Yom wouldn't have that dispensation. But since here has the dispensation as a Mitzorah, he also gets that dispensation as a Tvul Yom. So the assumption is that you have an assay, sheyesh bo karet, of Pesach. That overrides the problem of getting at the Har HaBayit. We solved that problem. There's a secondary problem for Ula only. Ula, who says that Bia Mimiksa Shmei Bia, is that entering your thumbs into the Azara involves not just an assay, not just an assay derabanan. It involves a serious violation and a chiyuv karet that's associated with sticking your thumbs in. How do we overcome that problem? Because the Gzeret HaKatuv, that Mitzora, overcomes that problem, so too the Balkeri, the Tvul Yom, also is granted permission to overcome that problem. That's Hov Ishtare, Ishtare. Our case as well, in Yibum. Once you have Yibum versus Ishtarach, we talked about this in the before, any case of Yibum always automatically has a tension between Ishtarach, which is an Arayot, and Yibum. Because generally not allowed to marry one's brother's wife. So over here, you have Eshedach versus Yibum. Yibum overrides the Arayot of Eshedach. Just like it overrides the Arayot of Eshedach, Hov Ishtare, Ishtare, it should override all Arayot. And that's exactly the concept of Ula. Once I'm giving you permission to Hutra Arayot, I'm going to say Hutra Arayot across the board, not just for Eshedach, for any Arayot. Along comes Aleha and says, don't do that. So that's the Avamina. We're trying to figure out what the Avamina is to say that Aleha undoes it. So now, that is the solution that we've come up with. The Gemara says, Tinach, wait a minute, you have to create a parallel case over here. If you think that that Ula is the basis for saying Hov Ishtare Ishtare, let's look at Ula in more in depth. The case here must match what Ula says, which is Tinach Echa Denosa Meit, Racha Kach Nasachai. That works only when, if you have here, you have Reuven and Shimon. Reuven and Shimon get married to sisters. So Reuven marries Rachel, and Shimon marries Leah. Now, if Reuven first married Rachel, and then Shimon married Leah, that would work. Because when Reuven passes away, what was the first Iser that applied to Shimon? When Reuven married Rachel, then Shimon is restricted to Rachel because she is Eshet Achiv. She is the wife of his brother. Then, subsequent to that, when Shimon marries Leah, he adds on an additional Iser called Achot Isha. In addition to being Eshet Ach, she's now also married to her sister, so then there's another problem. Therefore, demigo de ishtari iser eshet ach, ishtari nami iser achot isha. In that manner, eshet ach is the first isur, and there's a second isur piled on top of it called achot isha. Therefore, if I remove eshet ach, I can also remove achot isha, which is similar to the case of Ula, which is first the guy was a mitzora, he only became a balkeri later on. So now, once I added on the balkeri and the tevul yom afterwards, the mitzora can undo itself, and then it also undoes the Balkeri, that's Tvul Yom. So to over here, if Eshet Ach is first, then Eshet Ach is unwound, and since Eshet Ach is unwound, so is Achot Isha. But, Ela, Nasach Hai, V'achachai Nasach Meit, it was done the opposite way around, which is, first of all, Shimon marries Leah, then Reuven marries Rachel. So then, what's the first Isur? Before Reuven ever married Rachel, Shimon was restricted in Rachel because she was Achot Isha. Achot Ishto. She was the sister of his wife. Then only afterwards, when Reuven marries Rachel, do we add on the Iser of Eshet Ach. That means Achot Isha is first, Eshet Ach is second. In that case, Iser Achot Isha Kadim, the Iser of Achot Isha was first, then it wouldn't work, because then you're not unwinding. The Iser you're unwinding is Eshet Ach, which is a later Iser. That won't also take with it the Iser of Achot Isha, which preceded it. Here, the order matters. Who married which wife first matters. Number two is, Va'afilu nasa meit, and even if Reuven married Rachel first, Nami, Tina chechi denasa meit umeit. That only works where Reuven marries Rachel and then dies. So now Rachel is available for Yibum to Shimon. V'achar kach nasachai. And then Shimon, in the interim, while she's waiting to do Yibam with Shimon, he goes ahead and marries Leah. So Shimon now marries Leah. So now, first of all, Ishadach is first, because Reuven married Rachel first before Shimon did anything. Number two is Reuven dies before Shimon does anything. Then only then does Shimon marry Leah and create the problem of Achotisha. Why? D'chazila d'beni yubeni. There was an interim period where Shimon could have married Rachel. There was an interim period because before he married Leah, after his brother had passed away, when Reuven had passed away and Rachel was available for Yibam, Shimon could have married her. Instead, he goes ahead and marries Leah, which prevents that or stops that from happening. But there was an interim period where there was a possibility that he could have married her.
If someone has obligation,
it's going to be a problem. Later on in the Masechta, this will not work because of Achot Zukato. At least Midrabanan. It's probably not Midoraita, but Midrabanan. You're right. Ella, Nasa mate, Velo mate. If the case that Reuven marries Rachel and doesn't die, and then Shimon marries Leah, and then only then does Reuven pass away, lo itchazil eklal. There was never a period in time where Shimon could have married Rachel. Milo moldi Ula. Doesn't Ula agree? She'im ra'ah keri b'leil shmini. Had he become a baal keri on the night of the 8th, she'in machnis yadav libehonot. He will not be able to put his thumbs in order to become tor. Shelo yatzav shashi ruya melavi b'karban. There's no moment in time where he could have brought the korbanot. The Gemara is being medayek from Ula's statement, which says that from before, where we brought this, was a case where Mitzorah Shechal Shmini Shelo Be'eret Pesach V'rakeri Bo Bayom. He's Akeri on that day. Why does it say during the daytime he's Akeri? Implying that if he saw it at night, it wouldn't work. Why is that the case? Because even though after sunset on the seventh day, the Mitzorah is completely Tahor, he's waiting now to bring his Korbanot. When he's waiting to bring his Korbanot, when can he bring his Korbanot? Korbanot can only be brought during the daytime. So he has to wait until the morning to bring his Korbanot. During that period at nighttime, he is not Tahor, but he's also unable to bring his Korbanot, because it's nighttime. So what the Gemara suggests over here is that only once he reaches the morning of the 8th, and there was a moment in time where he could have brought his Korbanot, even though he has yet to bring them, but there was a moment where he could have brought his Korbanot. At that point, if he comes to Balkeri, then Mitzorah, as Xer the Katuv, he can put his thumbs in, so too Balkeri can put his thumbs in. But had he become a Balkeri at nighttime, where he never had a chance to bring his Korbanot, never had an opportunity even to possibility of bringing his Korbanot, then we would not say that. Since he never reached a point in time where it was possible for him to come to her, therefore we do not allow his Mitzorah to override Keri. The equivalent case by us would be, you'd have to reach a moment in time where he could perform Yibam, and then after that becomes Asur. And that's what the Gemara set up. It's a case where Reuven marries Rachel, dies, childless, then leaves Rachel for Yibam to Shimon. Now, Shimon has the possibility of doing Yibam to Rachel instead. He goes and marries her sister Leah. So he created the Easter after there was a moment in time where he could have Yibam. That's the only case that's going to match with Ula's setup, which is a case where you reach Korbanot in the morning of the 8th. You could have brought the Korban. You didn't bring it yet. Then you became a Baal Keri, went to the Mikveh, now you're at Tevul Yom. Only in that scenario will we say that it is the equivalent case.
In the case where he had a Keri at night, so the next day...
If somehow, by his potential to become Tahor, bring his Korbanot, allows us then, when he becomes a Keri, to be within the world of Mitzorah. The world of Mitzorah is governing then. Because he could bring his Korbanot, the world of Mitzorah governs and allows him to put his thumbs in as a Baal Keri. Becomes a Bukhari at night, the world of Mitzorah never gets off the ground. Since it never gets off the ground, doesn't weigh Bukhari. It's not clear. Tosafot says he doesn't know where they got this about Ula. He says they're medayik out of the Lashon HaBraita, but they're not explaining the logic behind it. The Gemara never explains the logic behind it. So they're taking it as a given without explaining the logic. So Ella, so that's what the Gemara says. You know what? You're right. Ki itztrich aleha. Do you know what I need aleha for? That narrow case. Ki heche denosa mate. It's a case where Reuven married Rachel. Oh mate! And then he dies. Vachagach natsachai. And then Shimon, instead of doing Yibam with Rachel, goes out and marries Leah. In that case, I would have thought, maybe, it should override. Even though he's married Leah now, and it's Achot Ishto, nevertheless, he should be able to perform Yibam because she was once Re'uya to be Miyabim him, or for him to be Miyabim her. Therefore, the whole thing should collapse, and I should be able to do Yibam. So therefore, I need Aleah to exclude that narrow case. There is a case where it would have been Mutar. That case where whole of Ishtari, a narrow case where Reuven marries Rachel, dies, Rachel's now available to Shimon for Yibam, Shimon instead marries her sister Leah, then in that case I would have thought he could marry Rachel, he could perform Yibam with Rachel, Because at one point she was ruya to him, and now hol vishtare for Eshirach, it should also be ishtare for Achot Isha. That's the case that I say Aleha comes to say no, don't do it. So that's it. Now the Gemara concludes that Aleha is for this very narrow circumstance where we would have thought it was permissible. That's one answer to the Gemara. Ibayatema. Here's another answer to the Gemara, which is Atya Behekesha. Comes from Ahekesh, mid the Rabbi Yonah. Rabbi Yonah, we're going to bump into later on in the Masechta. Then Rabbi Yonah, Vitema, Ravuna, Braid, Rabbi Yeshua, Makral, the Pasuk says, Kikola, Sher, Yaseh, Mikola, Tevo, Te'ilav, and Ichrutu. It's a summary Pasuk in Parashat Achremot about all the Arayot. It says, all these Arayot, if you do them, you're Chayav, Karet. It's a Kolel, a Pasuk that just grabs all of them and makes them into one unit and says they're all Chayav, Karet. Hukshu, Kola, Arayot, Kulan. The statement of Yonah is basically that all the Arayot have a Hekesh between them, which is that all the Arayot are bundled together. Since they're bundled together, a din that is apparent or a din that comes out of one of them will apply to all of them. He happens to be talking about bia later on in the Masechta. What type of bia do you need to be chayav harayot? The Gemara learns out from a pasuk that says in korah he'era that hara is enough of a bia. Again, I'm not going to define any of these terms. It's much in the Masechta. We'll get to this. But a small amount of penetration in the bia is enough to be chayav by harayot. How do I know that that's true by all arayot, not just one that says the pasuk like that? Mara says, hukshu kol arayot kulan. All the arayot have a hekesh between them. So you know what we're going to say now? The same thing is true be eshedach. Ma eshedach sharia af kol arayot nami sharian. Just like eshedach is permissible in the face of yibum, so too if I make a hekesh to all the other arayot should drop away in the face of yibum. Therefore, kotav rachmana alea. The pasuk comes to say alea and tell you don't do that. So here's a different way of setting up the Havamina. The Havamina is that Eshedach is one of the Arayot. If I compare it to all the other Arayot and say that they all should be the same, just like Eshedach is overridden, so too all the other Arayot are overridden in the face of Yibum. Don't say that because I have the Pasuk Aleha. Now, Amar Le Ravacha Midifti, the Ravina, Michtei, Kol Arayot, Ikol Akshinu Le Eshedach, Ikol Akshinu Achot Isha. Wait a minute, now we have a tension here. This is a tension we spoke about before. I have Eshedach, which is overridden by Yibum. I have a Achot Isha that says don't override it because of Aleha. So now I have one of the Arayot saying yes, and I have one of the Arayot saying no. Eshedach says override Arayot. Achot Isha says don't override Arayot. Now I have a Hekesh between all the Arayot. I have to compare all the other Arayot to something. Which one do I pick? Do I pick Eshedach or do I pick Achot Isha? How do I know which one to compare it to? I have one saying go ahead and do Yibum even when there's Arayot. I have one saying don't do Yibum when there is Arayot. So now Bito, Chamato, Eim Chamato. Which one do I compare it to? Do I compare it to Eshedach? Or do I compare it to Achot Isha? I don't know which one to compare it to. And that's what he's asking. My chazit akshil Achot Isha, akshinu le'Eshedach. Why do you think that what governs here is Achot Isha? Why don't we say that Eshedach governs over here? How do you know which one to pick? So Gemara gives two answers to that question. Ibai teima, l'kulo l'chumra makshinan. If I have a choice, two equal choices. Here we have two equal choices. One is Achot Isha, one is Eshedach. Eshedach is the Kula, which says Yibum overrides Arayot. Achot Isha is the Chumra, which says it doesn't override. If I have a choice to pick which one I'm going to go, I always go the Chumra. If I have a choice between the Kula and the Chumra, I'm going to go the Chumra. So that's the answer. You're right. I have equal chance to compare it to Achot Isha. I have equal chance to compare it to Eshedach. But one of them is the Kula, one's the Chumra. I'm going to pick the Chumra. That's one answer. The second answer is Ibaitema Alkatre Yisuri Valkatre Yisuri. Utre Mitre Yofinan. Here there are two restrictions, here there are two restrictions, therefore I can learn one from the other. Here there's only one restriction, in any one of the other arayot, including Achot Isha, you're always faced with two restrictions. By definition, you're faced with two restrictions because Eshedach is always present. Eshedach is present in any case of Yibum, Eshedach is present. If you add on top of that another one of the arayot, you have two Isurim, like by Achot Isha. Not only is it Eshedach, it's also Achot Isha. So there are two restrictions. Bito is the same thing. If it's his daughter is one of the arayot, plus it's eshet achiv. By definition, anytime you have one of the other arayot, you have two isurim, whatever that erva is, plus the erva of eshedach. In the case of eshedach, you only have one isur, because it's the only arayot that are applying to here. If it's just eshedach, then there's only one isur. So what the Gemara says is, look, I have a chance to compare it to Achot Isha, I have a chance to compare it to eshedach. All the other arayot look much more like Achot Isha because they all have two restrictions. They have they themselves as a restriction plus Eshedach. Just like Achot Isha has two restrictions as Achot Isha plus Eshedach. Bito is Bito plus Eshedach. Chamato is Chamato plus Eshedach. all of them involve two Isurim. So I'm going to compare two Isurim to something, I'm going to compare it to Achol Tisha. If I compare it to Eshet Ach, Eshet Ach is only one restriction, which is the Erva of Eshet Ach. So why would I compare it to something that is two Arayot to something that is one Erva? And that's the Gemara's answer. It makes more sense to connect it to Achol Tisha than it does to connect it to Eshet Ach, because Eshet Ach doesn't look like the other Arayot. It only has one Isur. All the Arayot have two Isurim, which is much more similar to Achol Tisha. And that's why the Gemara says, when I had a choice between Achol Tisha and Eshet Ach, I picked it to compare it to Achol Tisha. Two reasons. Right? Here's the Gemara's conclusion at this point of this stage of the Gemara, which is, the reason I needed Aleha, we gave two possibilities of why I need Aleha. One possibility is because of the Hekesh to Eshet Ach, which would have told me we allow Arayot to be Nidchet in the front of Yibam. Along comes Achol Tisha and says, don't do that. Achol Tisha is another one of the Arayot and says, don't do it. And we're making Shla Achol Tisha, not Eshet Ach. Why? Two possibilities. Either because it's Lachumra, or because it has two Isurim, it's much more comparable. That's why I needed Aleha over here, to tell me, follow Achol Tisha, don't follow Eshet Ach. That's one possibility. The other possibility is Hol Vishtari Ishtari, which is that since in this wild case where he married the woman, then dies, and she's available for Yibum, and then instead of doing Yibum, he marries her sister, in that one case where we would have said Hol Vishtari Ishtari, Aleha comes to Lee and say, don't do that. So that's the two reasons or two possibilities as to why we need Aleha. Now we move into the next stage of the Gemara, where Rava takes a different approach. Our approach until now has been about Arayot. Our assumption was the Braita says Arayot would have been Mutarot in the face of Yibam. Along comes Aleha and says, don't do that. Now Rava is going to change the talking terms of the whole Braita and says this. Rava Amar, Erva Gufa Lo Tzricha Kra. As far as Arayot are concerned, you don't need a Pasuk. Deina said, Doche Lo Tase Sheish Bo Karet. It's very simple. You have an Asay of Yibam. You have a Lo Tase of Karet. It would not override. That means, even without the Pasuk Aleha, I would have known you can't perform Yibum with any of the Arayot. Done. That's a given. So then, what do I need Aleha for? Yitzrich Aleha, Kro Lemeser Tzara. The reason that I need Aleha is to tell you that a co-wife is restricted. Not only is one of the Arayot restricted, but a co-wife is restricted in the face of an Erva. Tumar says, the Erva lo tzricha kra? Since when does an Erva not require a Pasuk? Vaha Ktani. When we quoted this Braita earlier about Aleha, the Braita begins like this. Ein li Elohi tzarata minayin. That's, we know about her, I mean her being the Erva. How do I know also about Tzara? But that implies that we needed a limud for Erva. It wasn't so obvious that Erva was cleared out. Gemara says, Mishum tzarata. No, that was just a stepping stone. The Gemara just wanted to get to Tzara, so it just says, alright, yeah, Erva's done. Give me to Tzara. Tell me what we need for Tzara. That's how you read it. Don't read it that, oh no, we have a limud for Erva. Now we need a limud for Tzarata. It's like this. Erva is a given that it's Asur. Okay, so now you want to get to Tzara. Say, okay, fine. Erva is a given. Move me on to Tzara. That's how the Braita say it. Vaktani, in Elohein, Mishum Tzarateen, Minayin. That's again, we have their Arayot. How do I know their Tzarot, their co-wives are restricted? Again, it sounds like you need a limud for the Arayot. And then we move on to Tzarot. The Gemara again answers the same way, Mishum Tzaroteen. That it's because of Tarot, meaning that it's a given. Arayot are Asurot without any information. You wouldn't even need a Pasuk, you don't need anything to tell you that because it's an assay against the Lot Association Bo Karet, done before we start. Tzarotehen, that I need a limud for. So Tashma, are you so sure about that? Rabbi Omer. This Rabbi is important, it's going to basically take up the remainder of today's daf and most of tomorrow's daf as well, which is Rabbi says by the Pasuk in Yibum, Ulekacha lo liisha v'yibma. He says, Yivama Yavo Aleha, says that the Yivama will perform Yibum, and then it says, Ulekacha, and then he will take her as a wife, Lekuchin, Kiddushin, and then, Viyibma, is how the Pasuk made, that he will perform Yibum with her. Rabbi's question is, why do you need the hay? It happens to be a mapik hay, which is, it says, Velakach Ota, V'yabim Ota. So he wants to know, why do you need that? In the context of the Pasuk, it's obvious that's what he's doing. It could have just said, Velakach, and it could just said, v'yibim. Why does it say, ulekacha? And why does it say, v'yibma? So those are extraneous hays. According to Rashi, it's because of the mapike, ota. Ota singles her out versus somebody else or versus something else. Versus Tosavot, it says just the extra hay. So there's an extraneous letter here. So now we have, v'lekach, ulekacha, v'yibim, v'yibma. We have extraneous hays here. Lesor, tzarot, v'arayot. That comes to restrict against the tzara and arayot. So Gemara says, well, this is pretty obvious from Rabbi that you need a limud from the Pasuk to teach you about Arayot. He's saying, I have two psukim, one for Arayot, one for Sarot. That tells me I need a limud for erva. It wouldn't have been obvious, according to Rabbi. Rabbi is saying it's so obvious. Rabbi doesn't think it's so obvious. So Gemara says, Ema, amend Rabbi's statement to say this. Le'asor, sarot shel arayot. It doesn't mean separately sarot and arayot. It means the co-wives of arayot are exempted. Gemara says, Va'atrei kroi kanasai vle. Wait a minute. You can't say that it's one limud here. He brings two limudim. He brings two psukim. Two words. He brings v'lakach, and he brings v'yibim. And he says there are two limudim here. If you have two limudim, how can you tell me there's only one limud, which is sarot of arayot? My love, chad erva v'chad etzara. One for erva, one for etzara. No, idi v'idi letzara. They're both for co-wives. Chad meiser etzara b'makom mitzvah. Chad meishrei etzara shalom b'makom mitzvah. It's coming to tell you that a co-wife is asur in the face of yibum, but a co-wife is muteret in the face of no yibum. This we learned earlier in the Masechta already, which is that co-wives are only restricted in the context of Yibum. In the context of Yibum, if there's a co-wife that's married, for instance, again, Reuven is married to Shimon's daughter. Reuven marries Rachel, who happens to be Shimon's daughter. Leah is also married to Reuven. Leah is Ptura from Yibum because she is a co-wife to Shimon's daughter. What happens if Rachel and Leah were not married to Reuven, they're married to Kalev, some independent person? Shimon's daughter Rachel is married to Kalev. So is Leah. Kalev passes away. Of course, Shimon can't marry his own daughter. But what about Leah? He has no relationship to Leah. The only relationship, in a sense, is that she was a co-wife to his daughter. There, he has permission. He can marry Leah. There's no restriction against him marrying Leah. That means that a co-wife is only problematic in the context of Yibum. It's not problematic outside the context of Yibum. That's why I need two psukim. One pasuk to tell you co-wife problematic in the face of Yibum. One pasuk to tell you outside the context of Yibum, co-wives are not problematic. Mar says, my time, how do I learn that out? It says, v'ibim, v'ibma. V'makom ibum uda sira tzara. Only in the context of ibum is there a problem of co-wives. Shalom makom ibum, shayir tzara. Co-wives are permissible, not in the face of ibum. That's the case where Rachel and Leah are married to Kalev and he passes away. Since he has no relationship to Shimon, he can't marry his daughter, but he can marry the co-wife of his daughter because he has no relationship to him. Amravashi, matnita nami deka. Our Mishnah supports Rava's understanding that the only problem here is tzarotehem and not erva. Diktani, because our Mishnah writes like this. Chameshis rei nashim potrot tzarotehem. The 15 women are exempting their co-wives. Wait a minute. Vilu, it should have said turot upotrot. Look, Tani. What it doesn't say is that the 15 women are exempting themselves. Plus, they exempt their co-wives. That's not what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah only addresses one issue, which is the co-wives. How come it doesn't say that they also exempt themselves? If you would have had a havamina that the arayot should have been married here, and there's a puzzle that teaches otherwise, the Mishnah should have told us that information. It's obvious from this that the Mishnah does not think that there's a problem with erva. Erva is like a given. Arayot, you know from the Torah already. That's not going to be a question. The only question is the co-wives. And that's what the Mishnah says. There, he doesn't mention arayot, just mentions about the co-wives. That these 15 women get rid of the isurim of the co-wives. They don't get rid of the isur on themselves, because that's obvious. The Torah tells you that already. They're arayot. That's a lo sesheish bo karet. Nothing to speak about. It's the co-wives. There's something to talk about. There's a drush of aleah. So Ravashi says that Shmamina supports Rava's position, that the only thing we're looking for over here is a limud about the co-wives, not a limud about the arayot themselves. It says, I don't understand. Why is an erva not require a pasuk? Deina say, the asev yubum does not come, but doka lota says sheesh bo karet. Doesn't override a negative precept that involves karet, meaning arayot. Can't override arayot. Tzara nami, loti ba'ikra. A tzara also should not require a pasuk. Mishom. Deina say, the asev of yubum should not override the lota says sheesh bo karet. Because tzarot now have a lota says sheesh bo karet. Why? Because of the word mitzror. From Achot Tisha, it says Litzror, so we know that a Tzara is restricted. If a Tzara is restricted, then it has the same din as an Erva. So the same din as Erva, we're talking about a Lotus Seishesh Bokarait. So if that's the case, I don't understand Rava's whole position here. He's saying it's obvious that Arayot, we don't need a Pasuk to teach us there are Surot, that's automatic. Tzara is in the same boat. Tzara is also a Lotus Seishesh Bokarait. If that's the case, then they both should have dropped away automatically, and I don't need the word Aleha at all. And then Hanami, that's what the Gemara says. Amalei Ravachu Barbivi Mar the Ravina. So he says to Ravina, Achi Kamar Mishmei the Rava. This is what Rava said. Tzara Nami Loid Strikra. Not only does Erva not read a pasuk, neither does Tzara. So then, what's left with? What do we need the word Aleha for at all? You're telling me
Arayot, automatically I would have known Yibum doesn't override. Sarah, co-wives, you would have known automatically it doesn't override. So what do I need Aleah for? Say, Akitzter Kra, the Mishrei, Sarah, Shalom B'Makom Mitzvah. I need the Pasuk of Aleah to teach me that the restriction of Yibum is what generates the problem. But had it not been in the context of Yibum, then co-wives would be Mutarot. My time, huh? Because I'm a Kra Aleah. The Pasuk says Aleah. Where's Aleah found? Aleah is found by Achotisha. It's also found by the word Yibum. So Aleah teaches you Gzera Shava. And this is what it says. B'Makom Aleah Udasira. When is Achotisha restricted? And there, the pasuk also has the word litzor. When is that restricted litzor? Do asira? B'makom alea, hu asira? In the face of alea, which is, means in the face of yibum, co-wives are problematic. Shelo b'makom alea, when it's not in the face of yibum, then sharia, co-wives are mutarot. So now, I slipped up a little bit, but I gave away the next question of the Gemara, which is, alea addresses two problems. The word alea appears by achotisha. In the pasuk of achotisha, you deal with erva, and you also deal with sarot. So the Gemara is saying that, well, Aleah teaches me that that pasuk of Echodisha is only applicable by Yibum. So now we're saying, okay, by Yibum, there's a problem with co-wives. Outside of Yibum, there's no problem with co-wives. We'll say the same thing about Arayot. There's only a problem with Arayot in the face of Yibum. Outside the context of Yibum, there should be no problem of Arayot. The word Aleah appears in Echodisha as well. That's the next question. Amalei Rami Bar Chama L'Rova, Ema Erva Gufe Shelo B'Makom Mitzvah Tishtarei. Let us say that an erva outside the context of the mitzvah of Yibum should also be muteret. V'lav kavachomer, the Gemara says, wait a minute, it's a kavachomer. B'makom mitzvah, when you have a tension between the mitzvah of Yibum and arayot, we say asira, shalom makom mitzvah, when there's no reason to say it overrides arayot, sharia, you're going to say it's mutar? It makes no sense, it's illogical. In the face of Yibum, we're going to say, okay, arayot are a problem. You have a mitzvah to marry this person, we say, no, don't do it, because there's arayot. Okay, outside the context of Yibum, go ahead, marry Arayot. What's the big deal? What do you mean, what's the big deal? It's Arayot. What reason do you have to override Arayot outside the context of Yibum? It makes no sense. Gemara says, I'm late, Sarah Tochiach. I'll give you an example of that. Co-wives are exactly that way. Co-wives in the context of Yibum are problematic. Outside the context of Yibum, they're totally fine. So you go. I have a precedent. I have a paradigm which says that that is the case. Sarah tochiach makom mitzvah asira shalom makom mitzvah sharia amalei alecha makra on you. The pasuk says bichaya. Bichaya is a word that's used by achotisha. It says bichaya. As long as she's alive, there's a problem. So what does that mean? That as long as she's alive, there's a problem of erva. It doesn't matter if it's in the context of yibum, not in the context of yibum. Bichaya. As long as this woman is alive, her sister is problematic to you. So what do you see here? That arayot are in an isur that exists no matter what. Bechaya, as long as she's alive, there's an isur. Nothing to do with Yibum. Kol she bechaya. That's the lima that he has here, which is as long as she's alive, there's a problem. So he said, wait a minute. The Gemara says, ha bechaya mi boile. We need the word chaya already for another limud. Demute la charmita. To tell you that after she dies, there is a dispensation, there is a heter to marry the sister. The Gemara says, ha misha el achutan afkra. That we learn out from a woman and her sister one may not marry. It says, Imi Shavel Achuta, if it was from a woman and her sister that you're not allowed to marry, Havamina Nidgar Shashario. I would have thought after divorce it was Muteret. Tamalomar Bichaya. Kol Shibichaya. That's what the word Bichaya teaches us, that as long as she's alive, there's a problem. Tafagav the Nidgar Shalo. Even though she's divorced, you may not marry the sister. Sisters are an exception to the rule of Arayot. Arayot can come in two forms. There are arayot that are blood relatives. Arayot that are blood relatives, even after it passes away, anything happens, they still exist because they are blood relatives. There's another form of arayot that comes through marriage. They are arayot. For instance, one's aunt. One's aunt is a surah because she married the person's uncle. That's an isur that comes through marriage. In that case, the isur exists even after the uncle passes away. Normally, the isur exists forever. Achot isha is an exception to that rule, which is that marrying sisters only applies when the sister is alive. When the woman who the person is married to is alive, then her sister is restricted. Because it says, Bechaya, while she's alive. You would have thought that that restriction only applies when the person's married to this woman. Then he can't marry the sister. What happens if he gets divorced from her? He gets divorced from her, there's no relationship anymore. Maybe he should be able to marry the sister. Along comes the puzzle and says, Bechaya. As long as she's alive, even if she's an ex-wife, still can't marry the sister. If she passes away, you can marry the sister. That's an exception in arayot, not in all the other arayot. Live on, even after the death, either because they're blood relatives or if they're through marriage. Context of marriage keeps them as an erva even after that point in time. The only exception is sisters. To marry a sister is allowed after the death of the first wife. That means even if she's an ex-wife, she has to die before you can marry the sister. You can't divorce her and then marry the sister. That we learn out of the word chaya. So chaya is not extraneous over here. So then, again, we go back to the original question. How do I know if this chaya is not extraneous, how do I know that this does not apply to erva as well? That erva or rayot will only be asurot in the context of yibum. They won't be problematic outside the context of yibum. So Gemara says, because the pasuk has two explanations here. Because Amar Avuna bar Tachliva Mishmei Derava Trei Kra Yiktive. They're really two psukim. It's not two psukim. It's one pasuk, but it's found in this two sections of this pasuk. Part of the pasuk is Tiv Ishalo Chuta Lo Tikach Litzror. The beginning of the pasuk says Ishalo Chuta Lo Tikach Litzror. You're not allowed to take a woman and her sister in a marriage context. Litzror, to make her into a co-wife. Uchtiv, at the end of the pasuk it says Ligalot Ervata Aleha. The Chada Mashma. The latter half says that this is an erva, ervata leah, talking in the singular form. Sounds like that there is one restriction, and the latter half is only a restriction against erva. In the beginning of this pasuk, it says, lo tikach litzror. You're not allowed to take them, plus litzror. Sounds like there's a restriction on the erva, there's also a restriction on the co-wife, on the tzara. So within a single pasuk, I have one part of the pasuk telling me there's a restriction on the erva and the co-wife. The latter half of the pasuk telling me there's only a restriction on the erva. How do I reconcile the two halves of the pasuk? And that's what Gemara says. Haketzad. B'makom mitzvah, in the context of Yibum, shteyen asurot. Both of them are considered to be asurot. Shalom b'makom mitzvah, not in the context of Yibum, he asura, the erva remains asura, but the tzarata muteret. So now, what the Gemara says is, the pasuk has different sections to it. There's one section that says, erva asura, and co-wife asura. There's another section of the pasuk that makes it sound like only the erva is asura. So how do I deal with the pasuk like that? I say, well, aleha is, even though it's written in the second half of the pasuk, it's interesting. The aleha is only teaching me about the first half of the pasuk, which is in the context of yibum, both of them are asurot. Both of them are asurot in the context of yibum. In the context of yibum, erva is a problem, and so is tzara, so is a co-wife. Outside the context of yibum, then erva remains a problem, co-wife is not a problem. That's how I solve this "quote unquote stira," I reconcile in the puzzle. My says zipokana. Why don't you say just the opposite? B'makom mitzvah he asura v'tzaratu muteret. In the context of yibum, she would be restricted. I mean, the erva would be restricted. The co-wife would be muteret. Shalom b'makom mitzvah outside the context of yibum, shtehem asurot. They're both asurot, and that's a more logical argument because yibum is a mitzvah. Yeah, so better to say the co-wife is muteret in the makom mitzvah. And erva is restricted, and then outside of context, the mitzvah, both of them are asurot. That makes much more sense. Gemara says, because imkain lo yomar aleha. Then I wouldn't need the word aleha. Because that is so logical. That's such an easy explanation of the pasuk. Then why do I need the aleha to teach me to connect it to yibum? That would have been the default explanation of the pasuk. That would have been the easiest way to explain the pasuk. If you gave me no other information, that's how I would have explained the pasuk. I'd say, makom mitzvah, co-wife muteret, erva asura. Outside of context, mitzvah, both asurot. So then, what do I need a comparison of aleh aleh to yibum? Aleh to yibum seems to, it's flipping it on its head. And saying, no, do just the opposite. Just the opposite. In Malkom yibum, both asurot. Outside of yibum, erva asura, co-wife is muteret. So that's what he says. Because otherwise you wouldn't need the gzera shava, aleh aleh, because that would have been such a natural way to explain the puzzle. So I'm aleh Rav Ashi, Rav Kana, mimai dahai aleh ali sura. How do you know that this aleh is coming to say la isser? Tilma the hetera. Maybe it's coming to say hetera. V'achi kamar. Rachmana, this is what the pasuk says. Isha lo chuta lo tikach litzror. When is an erva and a tzara asura? Outside the context of yibum, erva asura, co-wife asura. Shebamakom mitzvah, in the context of yibum, shtehen mutarot. They are both mutarot. Why don't you explain it that way? That's not the default way to explain the pasuk, and that's what Allah does for us. Allah teaches us. Both are restricted. Outside the context of yibum, they're both restricted. In the context of yibum, they're both mutarot. Gemara says, imkain legalot erva techada hechemishkachala. Where's the case where one of them is restricted? The latter half of the puzzle that says only one is restricted, not both of them are restricted. Where do you have a manifestation of that? Doesn't work. Ibum makom mitzvah, shtein mutarot. You just told me if it's ibum, they're both mutarot. Ishlobo makom mitzvah, if you tell me it's not ibum, you said both of them are asurot. There's never a case where only one of them is asurot. So you're not explaining the pasuk. You're not really reconciling the pasuk. Therefore, that cannot be the explanation of the pasuk. So in conclusion here, Rava takes a different approach and says the whole aleha here is to teach us that co-wife is only a surah in the context of Yibum. Outside the context of Yibum, Muteret. Erva by itself, I would have known because it's an asay, is not doche, lotus sheish bokaret. Sarah, co-wife by itself, I also would have known. Asay is not doche, lotus sheish bokaret. The only information I needed was outside of the context of Yibum, Sarah is okay. And that I learned out of Aleh. Aleh teaches me that the context of Yibum is where they're both asurot. Outside the context of Yibum, only one is asurah, that's erva. But co-wife is muteret. So that's what Rava says we use the word aleh for. Now the Gemara goes back and says gufa. Let's go look at that braita that we brought of Rabbi. Rabbi Omer, vilakach, ulekacha, vibeim, vima. Lesor tzarot ve'arayot. Exclude tzarot and arayot. Midei tzarot k'tiva hocha. Number one, where do you see the word tzara in the pasuk that all of a sudden Rabbi's talking about co-wives? I don't see the word co-wife here at all. And all of a sudden he says, that comes to tell you about a co-wife. What co-wife? I didn't see the word co-wife mentioned. When you talk about tzror, mitzror, tzara, that's a co-wife. But over here, you don't have co-wife mentioned. Vote, tzarot, mitzror nafka. That was asked before. Didn't we already learn out tzarot from the word litzror? What are you doing bringing it from here? Somebody says, litzror, mapiklei the rabbi, like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi uses the word litzror for a din of Rabbi Shimon. That's a din, again, that we're going to get to later in the Masechta, which is, if there are three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven's married to Rachel, Shimon is married to Leah, Reuven passes away, Shimon passes away without children. Levi is now faced with Yibum with two women, but they are sisters. So what does he do? The Chachamim say that he has to do Chalitza with them. He has to do Chalitza because there's what's called Achot Zukukato. She's the sister of someone who has a Zika. Zika is this connection between someone who you potentially could do Yibum with. That connection makes you like you're partially married. Since you're partially married, there's a problem with marrying either one of the women because you're half married to the other sister. Since you're half married to each sister, you can't perform Yibum. But it's not a strong enough relationship that you automatically go free because it's not Erva. So therefore, you have to perform Chalitza. Rabbi Shimon says no. It says Litzror. Any two women who as co-wives are problematic, they go free without any Yibum and Erva, any Chalitza. He learns that out of Litzror. Here you have two sisters who, if he married both of them, would be problematic. Therefore, they go free without any Yibum, without any Chalitza. They're gone. Achot Kukato, that's problematic, is gone from the beginning. That's what Rabbi uses the word Litzror for. So now it's not available for co-wives. It's not available to tell you about co-wives. So that's why he needs the limud from here. All right, so now you answered one question. But now, Tzara Hecha K'tiva. Where is the word Tzara appear here? So, Hachi Kamar. Imkein Lemerakara Vilakach. The passage should have said Vilakach. Mai Ulekacha. Why does it say Ulekacha? So here, again, Tosfot says it's from the extra hay. Rashi says it's Ulekachota, which means her, not someone else. Which is Kohecha Deika Trei Lukuchin. In a case where you have two women to perform Yibum with. Two women to perform Yibum with. Reuven is married to two women. He married to two women, one of which is an Arayot to Shimon. Again, he married Rachel, which is Shimon's daughter. And Leah was another woman. He married to them. Reuven dies. Now Shimon's faced with performing Yibum. If Rachel and Leah had no relationship whatsoever to Shimon, he could pick Rachel, he could pick Leah, he can perform Yibum with whichever one he chooses. On the other hand, if Rachel is his daughter, he can't perform Yibum with his daughter, Rachel. What about Leah? That's a co-wife. Can he perform Yibum with her? That's the question here. So now, there are two women to perform Yibum with. If he has a choice, he can marry Rachel, he can marry Leah. If Rachel and Leah have no relationship to Shimon, he can pick Rachel, he can pick Leah. It's his choice. If he has that choice, he can pick whichever one he wants to marry. But, Vilo, Tavayu Asurin. In a case where Rachel is his daughter, where he can't pick Rachel, then he's also not allowed to pick Leah. Only in the case where you have the choice between either woman to perform Yibum with, do you get the opportunity to perform Yibum. If you don't have a choice to perform Yibum with either one, then you don't get the opportunity to perform Yibum with the other one. So that's how he learns out Sarah here. The word Likacha, again, Tosfot says the extra hey, Rashi says Likach Uta. Likach Uta means you picked her from amongst the two. But that means you could have performed Yibum with one of the two, and you picked this woman. So then it's Muteret. But if you can't have a choice between the two, because one of them is restricted to you, then you don't get a chance to perform Yibum with the other one. Because you're not picking one out of two, you're picking the one because you can't pick the other, and that doesn't work. That's how we get to Tzara here. That's how we learn it out. Now, Vibma, Kom Yibum Huda Sira Tzara. Only in the context of Yibum is a co-wife problematic. Shalom Makom Yibum, Sharia Tzara. Not in the context of Yibum, then a Tzara is Muteret. So now, Rabbi learns that out of here. V'rabonon, Hai Ulekacha, what do they do with it? My of delay. Mibayilahu, Uleka Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. Ta'am Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, Ulekacha, Melamed Shemagasha Begetu Machzira. It's a very important principle here. Rabbi Yosef Baruch Hanina teaches us that ulekacha means lekuchim. Lekuchim is kiddushin. Once you perform yibum with this woman, she becomes a full-fledged wife. A full-fledged wife that, if you want to get rid of her later on, you want to divorce her, you don't do chalitza to get rid of her. You have to do a get, because she's a full-fledged wife. Number two is, if you give her a get, normally if you're married to a woman and you divorce her with a get, you're allowed to be machzir gerushato. You can remarry the woman that you divorced. Assuming she didn't marry anyone else in the interim, you can remarry her. What about in the case of Yibum? In the case of Yibum, he marries this woman, divorces her. Now, when we divorce her, is there a possibility that she's now back to being an Eshet Ach? She's back to being the wife of your brother. If she's back to the wife of your brother, then you couldn't be machzir grushato. The answer is no. Once she becomes a full-fledged wife, hutra. Eshet Ach falls away to the point that even if you divorced her, you could remarry her. You could take her back as a wife. Divorce her and remarry her, and there's no problem. Because once she becomes a wife, she's a full-fledged wife, Eshet Ach is not in the picture whatsoever. That's what Likuchin teaches you, or Likacha teaches you. Ve'yibma, what does that teach you? Al-Korcha. That teaches that it's given against her will. Meaning that even if Yibum is performed, if Bia of her Yibum, the Kinyan of Bia, is performed against the will of the woman, Yibum takes place, and then if you have to dissolve it, you have to give a get. As opposed to Kiddushin, which needs the acquiescence of the woman, Yibum does not need the acquiescence of the woman. The truth is that you could have learned it out of the Psukim. The Pasuk gives the man the choice. It says, the man, you perform Yibum. If he doesn't want to perform Yibum, the man performs Chalitza. I mean, it's up to the man. Im lo yachpots. If he doesn't want her, then he performs chalitza. The implications are that if he wants her, he performs yibum. It's not up to the woman at all. So that's what v'yibma comes to teach us, that even bal korcha, not only does it work, number one, in order to consummate the bia, but also makes her into a full-fledged wife at that point in time for all kinyanim. He inherits the brother. He, if he's a kohen, he can be metame law. All those things come into play now because she becomes a full-fledged wife, even if he does it against her will. You thought, okay, maybe against her will, makes her into a yibum. But doesn't make her into a full-fledged wife. The answer is no. Makes her into a full-fledged wife. Yibma says, everything happens at that moment. Virabi, the Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, where does he learn that out? How does he learn out that you're a full-fledged wife from? Mili isha nafko. He learns that from the word isha. The word isha is used over here to tell you isha means a wife. Nisuin, full-fledged wife. Al-korcha. Where does he learn that out from? An earlier part of the pasuk, which says, Yivama, Yavo Alea, Nafka. Learns it out, Yivama, Yavo Alea, that's Yavo Alea, means that he can have beer with her, and then that consummates the Yibom, even without the acquiescence of the woman. So he doesn't use Yibma. So he has Yibma and Ulekacha free for his Limudim, because he has Yivama, Yavo Alea teach him about Bal Korcha, and Isha teach him about Kiddushin. Now, so Rabbi learns out the whole issue of co-wives being problematic from the pasuk of Ulekacha. That's how he knows co-wives are problematic. From there, also, v'yibma, he learns out only in the context of yibum is it problematic. Outside the context of yibum, it's not problematic. He learns out, yibbal korcha from yivama yivala. He learns out that she's a full-fledged wife from the word isha. The chachamim, on the other hand, learn out about co-wives from litzror, which Rabbi uses for the limud of Rabbi Shimon. Litzror tells achot zkukato doesn't need chadlitza. The chachamim say litzror teaches you about co-wives. Allah teaches you only in the context of yibum are co-wives problematic. Not in the context of Yibam, co-wives are not problematic. The Chachamim use Ulekacha to teach you that she's a full-fledged wife. Yibma to teach you Baal Korcha. Now what we have left, which is going to take us through tomorrow's daf, is what does Rabbi do with Alea? Rabbi has the word Alea, that Gzeir Shava, he doesn't use at all now. What is he going to do with that extra word of Alea? So we'll stop here, three lines from the bottom of Chedamud Bet, and we'll ask that question tomorrow as to what Rabbi does with the word Alea.
Wow.